Hey, Western Oklahoma schools, listen up. How would you like to win a $5,000 interactive smart display for your school? Thanks to Video Reality, an audio-video business in Oklahoma City, you could be awarded one. Here's how. From now through February 28th, anyone can text in one time per day through the entire promotion. The winner will be announced during our live coverage on the ParagonTV.com and Cool 94's coverage of the Saturday, March 2nd Class A and B Basketball Championships. Here's how to participate. The text line number is 580-225-9697. And in the text, simply type in the one word name of the school you choose to support. We are so proud to partner with Video Reality that through their gracious gift in this promotion, some lucky school will be awarded a $5,000 interactive smart display. Remember, send a text to 580-225-9697. Type in your school's name. It can only be one word. And send it. Limit is one vote per day per phone number. Good luck. Video Reality, your audio, video, and control experts.
If you build it, he will.
It's the City on Sports Podcast with Aaron Cowell.
I throw balls far. You want good words? Data language it.
Talk real sports with a real man.
Come after me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
And now here's the be-all, end-all, know-it-all of high school, college, and pro sports. Aaron Skinny Calc with the Skinny on Sports.
We're talking about practice, man. I'm the MVP.
Good Paul Jones Drug Tuesday out there, Western Oklahoma. Welcome to the Skinny on Sports right here on 98.1 FM, the Sports Animal. Glad to have you along for the next hour. Got some high school hoops, regular season action wrapping up in the small schools. Elk City and Merritt's got a few more games, so we'll talk about that schedule at the end of the show. The Big Ten and the SEC coming together. What for? What does it mean that those two are now coming together to look at the potential impacts on all sports? What does it mean? What do you think might be in the works? What could even be possible after all the realignment that's happened? And then what makes the most sense for football, but not just football, for all the other sports as well? And then you see yesterday Dartmouth. See that?
Yeah.
The courts let them unionize. Is that what's next? Coming down the pike, are college athletes now just going to be employees of the university? If so, does that mean scholarships are gone?
You'd think.
Well, yeah, I mean, you'd have a hard time believing.
Isn't the idea of scholarships to get your school paid for?
Yes.
To class. Books and dorm and room and meals and everything, right? Isn't that the idea of
to go to school?
To go to school. How many of these athletes are actually doing that?
Well, here's the problem, though. What is the percentage of these athletes that actually they're using college as a way to get to the pros? But how many? What's the percentage that do?
Oh, yeah.
Very low.
Very low.
And so are we completely changing the landscape of college athletics over the top 3%? And does that make sense? Maybe it makes sense. But it seems like we're heading down this road to make college football the same as the NFL. I didn't get a chance to read it. I saw it this morning. Outkick, Clay Travis and that group. There's an article, the seven issues for college football. And I can't wait to read it because I guarantee a lot of it goes into what the Big Ten and the SEC are talking about doing. So maybe that's something we can both read and then kind of hash that out tomorrow. Man, the Super Bowl, distractions galore just on a normal year, right?
Well, I mean, it is Vegas.
Well, I mean, just the Super Bowl, the distractions of, you know, the players getting their family, the tickets and, you know, all the different things that go along with it. And those are being added too. San Francisco doesn't feel like they're in the right mindset. Griping about this, griping about that, still griping about calls that happened the last time these two teams played in the Super Bowl. Do you see what they're griping about the field?
I saw that they're griping about where they're practicing at, yeah.
And there's protocols in place from the NFL. This isn't the NFL helping the Chiefs, as much as I think it'd be funny for that conspiracy to be fed. It's not. The Raiders are hosting, so the AFC team uses their facility. That's the way it's always. A year ago, it was the other way around.
Right.
The Eagles, where was it? Do you remember?
A year ago?
Where the Super Bowl was?
Was it in San Francisco? No.
I'm looking it up.
Yeah,
right,
we just
now
had that discussion yesterday about venues.
It was Phoenix.
Phoenix, that's right, because the field in the
thing. Yeah, that's right. The field. I wish you messed up the field. Just kidding. Yeah, but anyway, so the Eagles, because it was the NFC hosting, so the Eagles used the Cardinals facility, and Kansas City went to Arizona State. But I wonder how much this is distracting. I wonder how much.
It's like self-imposed distractions, though.
Well, but like, then, I mean, what about Patrick Mahomes' dad getting a Dewey and now going to probably have to go to prison?
Listen,
but he gets to go out there.
If that guy can be as successful as he can be, as he is, with a wife that he has and a brother that he
that's
has.
That's exactly what Dakota
now,
just
now
put on the
Taylor
text line.
Swift in the same luxury box with those two. If he can navigate those distractions.
And now he's got this 350-pound gorilla he's got to deal with named Jason Kelce.
Right. I think he's impervious to distractions. I think he's okay.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. All right, we'll talk about a lot of those distractions. Also, isn't it ironic? I know Pat Jones after us has talked about this for almost 2 weeks now. Not only are the Chiefs are getting to work out in the facility of the Raiders, do you think the ghost of Al Davis is going around scaring people? Or, I mean, he's got to be irate at the thought of the Kansas City Chiefs working out for a Super Bowl that the Raiders are hosting in the Raiders facility. I mean, Pat has talked about you couldn't even say you couldn't even say Lamar Hunt's name around him, or he would just go nuts. The hate that man had for the Chiefs, and now here we are in the brand new digs in Las Vegas, and the first team to be able to use those in a Super Bowl is his hated Kansas City Chiefs. All right, 225-9698 is the phone or the text line. 225-9698. Give us a call. Shoot us a text. Talk about any of those things. Another question we had yesterday, and I missed it on the text line, but a very interesting one that I've heard talked about in a lot of other places as well that we can discuss about the Super Bowl coming up as well. If you're going to be outside the listening area, stay in touch with the show a couple of ways. You can live stream it on KADSAM.com, or you can download the app. The app has it all. Radio, Penny News. Brand new edition of the Penny News will hit the website tonight at midnight. ThePennyNews.com. Also, Big Elk and Paragon TV. High school hoops winding down. Playoffs start Thursday. But we still got regular season games for Elk City and Merritt as well. And a couple tonight to finish off the small school regular season. And, of course, the Skinny on Sports podcast wherever you shop for podcasts. How are you, Jared?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing wonderful. Do you play tonight?
Yeah, at CBA.
That's right. You said that
Clinton.
Yesterday.
Clinton. I had to keep reminding myself that. They're at their new digs in Clinton. I guess like 2 years old now, but it's the first time I've been there.
Cool.
So, yeah. I guess I'm saying that too because others. I'm just wondering how many people are actually going to drive to Old Corn Bible Academy in Corn.
Well, they're
knocking
miss
on the door. So, it's in Clinton.
Hello.
It's in Clinton, south side of Clinton. But no, that's tonight. Yeah, then they're done. They're wrapped up.
Man, everybody plays.
Yeah, I think so.
I'm actually surprised by that.
Yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Thought you might, but you know, it's that rust versus rest conversation.
Yep.
You know, this is the routine that everybody's been in for 3 months now. Playing Tuesday and then playing Friday or Saturday. You know, so I guess that makes sense. But yeah, it's a full slate of games. Online tonight on Paragon TV, and a Big Elks go down to Duncan. Longest trip of the year. Down to play the Demons and the Lady Demons. So that'll be fun.
First thing I looked for when I went to Duncan that one time was if they, in fact, have a Dunkin' Donuts. And they do.
Oh, well, that makes sense. I wonder if they spell it different.
But it is, I don't know. It's not like the franchise. It is actual. It's like a home. Dunkin' it's like a Donuts. Mom and pop.
So they do spell it Dunkin'.
Yes.
D-U-N-C-A-N.
Yeah.
Because it's not Dunkin'.
I thought it was the best joke ever, and no one laughed at it when I was sending the group text. Anybody see a Dunkin' Donuts anywhere?
It's clearly one of those dad jokes.
Crickets is what I got.
I can understand why. It's kind of what you're getting here. I mean, if it had like all the familiar Dunkin'. I guess is that how I would have to say it, Dunkin'.
Yeah.
Except it spelled it different. It was actually the franchise, but just spelled it different. Or, that might work.
What was that Made in America or a McDowell's, not a McDonald's.
Coming to America.
It's Coming to America. Yes. Or a McDowell's.
The Golden M, not the Golden Arches. Do you remember who the actor was that came in to rob McDowell's?
Yeah, it was Eric LaSalle. No. He was the boyfriend.
LaSalle had the soul glow.
He was the boyfriend, the bad boyfriend. No, I cannot remember. They beat him up with
Samuel L. Jackson.
Was it him?
I think it was.
I
think it was Samuel L. By the way, sad week so far. I know we had this on the text line yesterday, didn't get to it. You know, Apollo and Creed, Chubbs, Carl Weathers passed away. And then this terrible news within the state of Oklahoma this morning of Toby Keith.
Yeah.
His battle with cancer is over at the age of 62.
Bummer, man. That was a bummer to wake up to.
So it's been a rough go. With Carl Weathers, he's an interesting one because there's very few, say, actors of his level, that... I don't know about anybody alive right now has connection to.
Oh, right. He's
Apollo.
Right.
Then in the middle there, he was Chubbs. And I know there's been more, but that's kind of the ones. And then he's in The Mandalorian.
The Mandalorian. Yeah. He was on, I don't know if you ever watched Arrested Development. He was on it for a little bit. He kind of played fun of himself. He played himself.
Man, I watched a couple of seasons. I mean, I must not have got to him.
He was an out-of-work actor, and everywhere he showed up, you see him stashing food.
Oh, really?
Trying to, and he would take.
See, I found that show incredibly funny. Rest of my family does not.
It's an acquired taste. If you either liked it or you didn't, I loved it. I thought it was a great
show. When I really started to like Jason Bateman.
Yeah. He had to deal with his crazy family.
Oh, my gosh.
And the way he dealt with it. And he was, too, a little kind of off. That's a good show. That was a great show. I was just thinking that the other day about, for some reason, I saw a seal on TV and the episode where the brother got his hand bit off by a seal and they were saying, Lucille.
Job.
And he thought it was Job. No, Job. It was the other one. Job was the
He was the brother-in-law.
He was the magician.
Wasn't he? He was married to his sister, Job.
Yeah. What is his name? Oh, he was so weird, but...
Oh, I can see him. He's got a little muscle.
Though, they go, Lucille. And he thought he was yelling about his mom. He had mom issues. It's like, Lucille, where? Where's my mom? And it was actually a loose seal. I don't know where we're going with that. But yeah, it's a bummer. Bummer to wake up about Toby Keith, man. I thought he was doing good. You saw him on a bunch of interviews. That News 9 just did an interview with him, a little expose with him.
Yeah, I wonder.
Now, me and Nathan were talking about that.
I wonder if that was something that they got done before they knew what was coming.
I think that's what I wonder.
Tobias,
thank you.
Yeah, Tobias.
Yeah. But Toby,
married to Lindsay Bluth, the sister of Michael.
Yeah.
Anyways, go ahead.
I thought Toby Keith, I think maybe he knew his time was coming, and so he was doing all these interviews, and that was, you know, his way of, this is how I...
almost like his eulogy.
In a way, yeah. Mm-hmm. So he could tell his story. But sad deal. I was just looking through his music catalog, and you forget how many fun tunes he put out. He was country through and through, American through and through, and he'll be missed, man.
Yeah, he was kind of almost two or three different, like, seasons of his career. He started out like should have been a cowboy guy.
Yeah.
And then he went then he was like patriotic, you know, around 9/11 and all that.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then he became like the fun loving the fun songs.
I love this bar.
Yeah, and Red Solo Cup.
Just I'm not as good as what once was. That was a fun song. Right. Yeah, and of course, you know, every OU game you turned on, every football game, you're going to see him.
Yeah, he did that. He did that interview in December that just aired.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyhow, yeah, it's sad. I did see, I think it was Eddie Radosovich on Twitter that said a great tribute to him would be all beverages sold in the inside the LNC tonight be poured into red Solo cups.
That would be cool.
I think that'd be a pretty
it'd be a pretty cool
deal to
yep.
to celebrate.
Very cool.
What Toby Keith was.
I got to see him when it was back in October. We went and saw Jason Aldean in concert. It was during our fall break week. So it fell on that Friday. I said, "Hey, Allie, let's go. We got it. I got that Friday off." So we went to that, and he brought out Toby Keith to sing "Should Have Been a Cowboy," and that was cool. And dude, I found myself like with a tear in my eye because I thought this is probably the only time I'm going to see this guy.
Yeah,
you know, unless he makes a dramatic turnaround and goes on tour or something. I've always wanted to see Toby Keith in a concert. He put on some fun ones. From what I was told, but to see him, and he sounded great, looked great up there, strumming the guitar, sang that classic song. Everybody in the arena was singing along with him, and it was probably the loudest the arena got all night. No offense to Jason Aldean, put on a great show, but when your homeboy comes onto the stage,
right.
It's Toby Keith, the people respected it. It was really cool. It was a cool moment. So I'm glad I was able to see that, but sad he's gone, man. Bummer.
It is, no doubt about it. No doubt about it. See, talking about his patriotism, Coach Green from here in Elk City just tweeted out, "Only show I've ever been to is at Kandahar Airfield in Afghanistan."
Yeah.
When he was over there serving the country.
He did a lot. Yeah. He did a lot of those, what do they call them, USAO shows. And he respected our vets.
2 hours. Played for 2 hours in the hot and dust of Afghanistan. It's crazy.
Yeah.
All right, Super Bowl distractions. You and Dakota neither believe that Patrick Mahomes' dad getting a DUI is going to distract him. It's not his first, and he's going to have to go to jail, it looks like, because of a repeat nature of this. But he will be able to be there. So, I mean, maybe it doesn't distract him, and y'all are right. I mean, his wife and brother have been enough of a distraction, you would think. So if he can handle that, he can handle anything. But there's just a lot going on. There's a lot. It's crazy because there's just a lot going on around the Chiefs. But it almost seems like the more there is, the better they perform. Like maybe it's a way that all these things going on around that team, it allows them to lock in even more to not have to use that as a crutch or an excuse if things go bad.
You can be distracted. It's kind of hard to say. You can be distracted and not know you're being distracted, you know, and then you realize, man, dang it, I messed this up. I'm guilty of that here at work. And or there can be, like you said, like, okay, we're going to lock all this out. We're going to focus in. We're going to. That could be a thing for the Chiefs. That's the best, most eloquent way I could say it. But then there's also you could I don't know, Jason Kelce, for instance. I don't know if he is distracted by Taylor Swift, but you know, did he go to the Grammys? I probably doubt it. But you know, there's all that distraction. The whole Taylor Swift thing's a big distraction. Is he hyper focusing in to not be distracted? Handcuffs him a little bit, like he's trying so hard not to be distracted. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and these things are so in your face. Like, yeah, you know, if you're a member of the Chiefs, you know what it is. Yeah, there's nothing sneaking up on you to distract you because it's right there.
Yeah, nothing's a surprise for them anymore. Feels like
no, because all this stuff is just it's national, international news.
Yeah,
with who's hanging around. On the other side, the 49ers, I mean, man, it just feels like they're distracting themselves with a lot of this stuff.
Yeah.
know, the field, the practice field being too soft. I guess the NFL just is supposed to kind of have this done in December. They didn't do it until last week or so, where they put natural grass over top of the field turf at UNLV. That way they could practice on natural grass. And you know, just to the complaining about the officiating from the Super Bowl 54 a couple years ago. I mean, it's like the Niners are buying in to all the 31 other teams' fan conspiracies about the NFL having something in favor of the Chiefs.
That's not healthy. I mean, you can't do that. It like, you're right. I feel the same way. It's like self-imposed distractions, where they're just finding something to complain about or already trying to inject these excuses why they're not going to play good on Sunday. So they could say, see, we told you, if we had had a better practice facility, we would have won this game. Or
yeah, if you had let us practice at the Raiders facility instead of UNLV, we'd have beat them.
Exactly, yeah. So it's
which is crazy because the Niners, unless something wild happens as far as the line goes, the Niners are going to be the first team since the 2017 Patriots to be favored in every single game they played all year. And I think until the last week and a half or 2 weeks, a majority, and I think a pretty big majority, of NFL watchers, fans, would have told you the Niners are clearly the best roster and clearly the best team if they're healthy. And now it seems like they're healthy, but there's just something feels off.
Well,
about him,
yeah.
And are we?
I would expect this from a team or a franchise that hasn't been there in a while, say the Dallas Cowboys or something, that, you know, they're injecting this stuff. But you're right; they were just it wasn't that long ago they were in this game. See, as a franchise,
Super Bowl 54.
Yeah, I mean, Purdy wasn't there, but so I say act like you've been there before, because San Francisco, you've been there before.
And they've been right around it, too, even if they weren't there. You know, played the Rams, had a 10-point lead going into the fourth quarter of the NFC title game a couple years ago when the Rams ended up winning the Super Bowl. You know, last year, made it to the NFC title game. And then Purdy gets hurt the first series, and everything kind of goes downhill from there. But it's really strange how the sentiment of around these two teams has flipped so much in 2 weeks. And I'm wondering if that's if everyone are we too focused as far as thinking who's going to win this game and who has the advantages or whatever. Are we so focused in on the recency that we're missing the overall picture? Because
which is
everyone loves the Chiefs, when the Niners have been the best team all year.
I keep going back to, I'm just not going to bet against Mahomes.
And that's you know, all of a sudden.
I agree that the 49ers, when healthy, when clicking on all cylinders, they are on paper on the best team. But, man, I felt like the Ravens were the best team against the Chiefs and saw what happened there. I felt like Buffalo was going to have the advantage being at home against the Chiefs, and we saw what happened there. So, So
do we bet – can you not bet against Mahomes, that second half Mahomes we saw against Baltimore?
Yeah. Well,
they went scoreless, and they only gained like 60 yards in the second half until that last put-away drive. You know, that's the crazy part about. I mean, let's flip these two title games. If Brock Purdy would have played like Mahomes, I think there would be legitimate questions right now. If he doesn't win this game, is he going to be the quarterback of the 49ers next year? Mm. After the abysmal second half that he would have had, like Mahomes did. Right. I mean, the offense did. Versus Mahomes leading his team back from 24-7 at half. I mean, he might already have a bust in Canton erected. For, you know, just to add to what he's done. But there's still, I'm still seeing, I even saw yesterday Colin Cowherd still asking the question, if Purdy fumbles this game, coughs this game up and doesn't play very well, could Sam Darnold go into the year as the starting quarterback for the Niners? Listen, I'm no giant Brock Purdy fan, but that's ridiculous. All this guy has done is get you to two straight NFC title games. Who knows what happens last year against the Eagles if he doesn't get hurt? And now he's in the Super Bowl. And yeah, he throws some he's like a way better version of like Tebow. Remember the Tebow run? Tebow would awful for 3.5 quarters. I mean, awful. And then somehow, some way, maybe it really was the Lord strengthening his left arm for the final drive, and they would come back and win. They did that all year long, right? But that didn't mean Tim Tebow was really an NFL quarterback, but he had that clutch gene.
Yeah, yeah.
And Purdy clearly has that clutch gene. Both playoff games, he scuffled and scuffled, and then when the chips were down, what did he do? Led touchdown drives. You know, and a lot of people would really celebrate that. I think because he was the last pick, and all, there's a lot of things working against Brock Purdy, but I don't know that anybody on the Niners really cares. It sure seems like they have his back.
No, yeah, I think, yeah. So to answer your question, if he comes out, I won't say lay an egg, but what if he plays good and doesn't win? You know,
well, if he plays good and doesn't win, you go. Here's what happens: you go, dang, Mahomes.
Exactly.
You just go, golly, Mahomes.
But those talking heads will go, see, if they had, they didn't have the last pick of the draft, if they had even a second-round guy, they probably would have won that game, blah, blah, blah.
So this is interesting. I was looking for the game time last night, coming up on Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
And I found the game time, and I kind of clicked on it to make sure it was Central time, and I think it is.
I hate that.
I think it's 5:30 Central.
It's what I think it's kind of been the last few years.
Yeah,
I always have my mind trained that it's going to be like a
later
kickoff.
No,
which I'm kind of glad it is 5:30. It's not a late.
Well,
night.
You can always get in an hour episode of some show after it's over, like
sure.
NCIS
yeah,
or whatever.
Yeah, or kick people out of your house takes a little bit.
Yes. Oh,
come on, and then you got to clean the house up.
We've got kids coming. We're gonna Super Bowl / kind of birthday party for
we're
Compton.
Having, I know we're having people, but I'm. Not
so
sure who,
okay, but I clicked on this, and it basically what it has is just total stats for both teams, team stats.
Mm-hmm.
And so I started looking through here, and then I see some individual stats. Do you realize Brock Purdy has thrown for 97 more yards this year than Patrick Mahomes? And, I mean, okay, 97 yards, that's not – a huge difference, right? Here's where the huge difference comes in. He did it on 153 less attempts and 93 less completions. Purdy completed 308 of his 444 for 4,280 yards. Mahomes completed 401 of his 597 for 4,183. That's a huge difference.
There's a lot to break down there because the knock on Kansas City's offense was the wide receivers dropping a bunch of passes and stuff like that, which is actually pretty impressive that they're in this game despite all of that, those issues that they had, which I think they've kind of shored up a little bit. And where was I going? And does it also show you that the personnel around Purdy is better than what it is around Mahomes?
It could.
I know it's Tuesday, but we can break down position by position. But
he threw for 31 touchdowns. Mahomes threw 27. He threw 11 interceptions. Mahomes threw 14. I mean, it's. I understand why everybody thinks this is a massive advantage for the Chiefs at that position. I totally understand it. And I'm not going to necessarily disagree with it. But the stats tell a little bit of a different story. At least the stats at least tell you that Purdy deserves to be in the game. Here's one stat that hasn't changed from the regular season for Kansas City through the playoffs. And that is, they are a horrific second half offense. They average scoring a tick over 7 points a game in the regular season after halftime. In the playoffs, they've gone 10-14-0. So they've stayed right on that, just a hair over seven per half. That's something to think about.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
And guess who's the number one second half offense in the league?
Would that be
the San Francisco 49ers? Yeah. So maybe an early lean from me. Last question about the Super Bowl for today. It came on the text line yesterday and I missed it. And I think this is a fascinating question. Is there a chance, depending on how this goes, that we see Vegas be the permanent Super Bowl host? Because of everything that it has. Everything we talked about yesterday, with as far as the destination city, the weather, the things around it, it's Vegas, like, is the perfect spot, right? Is there a chance it becomes the permanent location?
Well, I agree that would be kind of cool, and you could always have the markability of it all, the road to Vegas, weekend in Vegas, let's get, all that stuff. I say no, because I think other cities and owners, Jerry Jones and others, would raise high hell to go, no. You have to spread the wealth here.
Okay, do we know how the revenue is split?
Not a clue.
I mean, does it matter where it's at? Do they all share?
Well, I mean, are hotels sharing the revenue with other hotels?
Oh, well, no, but that doesn't have anything to do with the
restaurants.
Teams. That's more of a city issue.
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, the owners
are trying to protect their cities, and they would raise a ruckus about it.
Yeah, but okay. I don't disagree with what you're saying. But let's also be honest that 20 of the 30 are never going to have it anyway. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean, we went down that list.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you're right. Green Bay's not hosting the Super Bowl.
Green Bay, Chicago.
Yeah.
New England. Baltimore. I mean, we can go down the list. I don't know about Nashville. Maybe that can happen. I'm not going to rule that one out just yet because of the way that place is becoming. But Seattle's never having the Super Bowl.
Now, Nashville, I think, is getting a new stadium.
Think maybe they're talking about it.
But I don't know if it's enclosed or not.
And it could be downtown. I don't know where the new one is. I don't know where the one is now. I'll tell you in a couple months.
It gets cold in Nashville.
It can.
It can. I saw them there ice skating on ponds a few weeks ago. It can get cold in Nashville, which is a big player into this, the weather. But if you have an indoor facility, Nashville's turning. I mean, it's nicknamed Nash Vegas for crying out loud.
Right.
So yeah.
I wonder how that's gonna. I wonder if that could happen. If there could be a revenue split amongst now, it's not going to help the cities where these teams are located.
Yeah.
I get that. But if there could be a revenue split enough amongst the owners where they go,
that'd probably calm them down. Absolutely.
Because there has to be one right now. Otherwise, Green Bay would be wanting to host the Super Bowl.
Well, of course. Yeah, Seattle. Yeah, so you're right. I mean,
Cincinnati and Cleveland are never getting the Super Bowl.
No. Pittsburgh, sorry. No.
Yeah, Philly. You're not going to get it. So, anyway. I thought that was an interesting question that I could, while it seems pretty unorthodox now the way it's always been, I could see that happening because Vegas kind of is the perfect place for this in a lot of ways. All right, when we come back, I'll tell you more about Paul Jones Drug. It is a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday right here on the Skinny on Sports on the Sports Animal.
Paul Jones Drug is Elk City's most experienced compounding pharmacy, meaning they can custom make your prescription medications to your doctor's specifications, safely and effectively providing you with exactly what you need. And for your convenience, Paul Jones Drug has a drive-through pickup window as well as curbside service for testing and vaccinations, and offers free local delivery. Just a couple reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
What in the wide, wide world of sports is going on here?
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, The Sports Animal. Hanging out on a Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. Thank you to Rodney Skinner and all the gang down at Paul Jones Drug. 809 North Main, Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. They are the oldest compounding pharmacy in Elk City with free local delivery, drive-through pickup, curbside testing and vaccinations, and, of course, the blister packs, which is their long-term care unit packaging. Give them a call, 580-225-2121. Paul Jones Drug is care you can trust. All right, Jared, over the weekend or the end of last week, the Big 12 or the Big 10 and SEC kind of announced, I don't even know what you call this, like a research group or almost not, I would stop short of alliance because I don't know what they're aligning with, but it does appear that there's going to be some sort of studying from all different aspects of the direction that college athletics is headed. And so just when you saw this come out, what was kind of your first reaction? Like, what does this even mean?
Well, my first reaction is much to do about nothing. But because of when the news broke that the SEC was expanding and the ACC, what was that? Remember that? The ACC and...
Well, around COVID, the ACC, Big Ten, and Pac-10 formed an alliance.
They did this kumbaya type thing that, what was that about? What came out of that?
The Big Ten screwing them and taking four teams, essentially killing the Pac-12.
Yeah. So that's where I was like,
the idea originally was to keep football from being played in a lot of ways. Then as the SEC and the Big 12 decided they were going to play, then it was, okay, how do we keep the SEC from being the controlling interest of everything?
Right. This, I don't know if it's too early to say what's going to happen, but I think it's, and I've seen some speculation like this could be the start of those two conferences splitting away from the NCAA and having their own organizational playoff and their own national champion.
Football.
In football. So that could be the start of it. That could be a date you circle and go, that's when it happened. That's when, next thing we knew, we were talking about them splitting away from the NCAA. Does that mean, I think it was Clay Travis who put a tweet out there saying, all right, just do it. You know, we're just go, you know, it'd be like the NFC and the AFC. Mm-hmm. You know, you got your champion of the SEC. You take on the champ of the Big Ten, and that's your national. And a lot of people would probably not argue. Go, yeah, that's probably going to be your national title contender anyway. So just split away from the NCAA and do it. It's like a mini version of the NFL.
And it does seem like that's where we're headed. As where I mean is football, college football being a total different entity outside of NCAA control. And a big reason why is because the NCAA doesn't really have control over what's happening in college football. They've been neutered to the point where the only people that ever get in trouble are the ones dumb enough
to report
themselves or try
look out Iowa
or try to try to communicate with them. I mean, let's just look.
Yeah.
Look what has happened right here in this state. Oklahoma State did nothing, basically, basketball-wise, and cooperated mm-hmm. all the way down the line with the NCAA investigation and got hammered. Kansas did, horrific infractions, and nothing's happened. But the truth of it is that that's always the joke, right? When, you know, look out, whoever, you know, if Kansas basketball, uh-oh.
Yeah.
Look out, Wichita State or, you know, whoever else is around there. Because they're not going to punish the geese that are laying the golden egg. And for the NCAA as an organization, that golden egg is the men's basketball tournament. You know, there's kind of a misconception when you talk about the huge contracts for football that are being paid, like the NCAA generates that money. No, that goes to the conferences. So it's like the revenue is already that way. I mean, that's why it's called a mythical national championship for all these years. It's because it's not really NCAA recognized, because they had no part in it. So in a lot of ways, the only thing they've ever really done has been like an enforcement police. And when they lose the ability to do that, then what's the point? What purpose are they serving to college football? And the answer is none, really.
Yeah.
And so I think this is the first steps in football breaking away from the NCAA. And I can't wait to read that. I just didn't see the Outkick tweet it yesterday of the different seven different issues to be resolved for it. I'm sure Clay Travis has been at the forefront of talking about how undervalued certain contracts are. Like, you realize ESPN, starting next year, has that SEC game of the week that we're so used to seeing on CBS. You know what CBS was paying for that? For all these years?
What were they paying? No.
What were they paying?
No, what was it?
$50 million. You know what ESPN's paying?
Ooh.
$300 million.
Yeah.
Just for that. I mean, that's just by moving, just by negotiating a little bit, that's six times. And his argument is, I've seen him make this one, and I guarantee you it's in that article, that right now, as separate, almost competitors, specifically the Big Ten and the SEC, are leaving money on the table. Because they're not, it would be like if the NFC, I mean, I get that the NFC's on Fox, the AFC's on CBS, kind of, that's the way it's split. But they're negotiating as a whole, right? Mm-hmm. If the NFC was negotiating and the AFC was negotiating separately of each other, they wouldn't get as much money. And that's kind of what's happening to college football here with the Big Ten and the SEC. If they partnered and went together in these negotiations, which also then goes along with the playoff, all that stuff, the money that can be generated is higher than what they're currently receiving. And for the longest time, those two kind of butting heads, it felt like a competition, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they've figured that out. Like, wait a minute. We got a new playoff system coming. Why aren't we pitting these organizations against each other in bidding wars instead of letting them be happy that they got us and they got you? I guarantee you that's part of it, because he's talked about that for a long time. I don't know what the other six are, but I promise you that's one of them. So here's a couple of questions I would have. What does this mean for the ACC and the Big 12?
Yeah. They might be in a holding, holding pattern right now, but they better get along to get along.
Or
they're kind of waiting to see, well, what happens here? What are they going to do? And then they're going to have to react to it.
Yeah, but the problem for them is going to be, obviously, the clout of those other two. Like, you can't have – how do you put this? No one's going to care who wins the ACC Big 12 national title.
No.
And so at that point is the goal – and maybe the Big Ten and the SEC agree with this anyway – to expand out and kind of envelop all of those squads, to make it the AFC and the NFC. Mm. And so then, after all of this wrangling and moving around and everything that's happened in college athletics, does sanity prevail and we kind of end up back where we were with, like, the regional matchups in two huge conferences? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Do we end up back with kind of – it's just the Big Ten and the SEC instead of the Big Ten, the SEC, the Big 12, the Pac 12, and the ACC. We end up where we were anyway.
And you have the, you have like divisions in each,
yeah,
each conference. You got your, your North Division, your South Division, your East, your West, Northwest, whatever.
Yeah, and you have eight. I mean, here
play
we are
in the North Division of the Big Ten. We, you know, you're the division champs, and
here we are back to what I've talked about.
Just a model regulation,
like,
or what?
No,
what,
eight, oh, like eight team divisions.
Yeah, yeah.
And whoever wins the divisions, here comes your playoff.
Right.
As an 8-team playoff, because I think people think that 12 is too many anyway. And now you're back at eight. Now we don't have to kick the relegation in just yet, if we don't want to get other teams up. And
you want to?
I want to bad, but I don't. That may be a bridge too far here to start. But I just wonder. I mean, I wonder how they. I wonder how the SEC and the Big Ten view the ACC and the Big 12 as competitors or as future members once they get everything put in place.
I think it comes down to value too. I mean, if they don't see any value in them.
Yeah, I don't think that matters at this point when you're one entity, because you're not teams aren't being judged on an individual basis because everybody's on the same team. See what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. At that point, that's kind of the beauty of it in a lot of ways, I think, because then you're negotiating as college football, not as the Big 12 without OU in Texas, or with. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everybody is negotiating in the same boat with the different networks, because you're literally kind of one thing. And then, of course, just like the NFL, I'm sure that, say, ESPN would have, you know, like they do now, like the SEC would be the ESPN channels and Fox and the rest. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, just like Fox and CBS are now, and then you farm a game out. I mean, we're already starting to play games throughout the week. You know, do we end up with – you don't want to compete. You're not trying to compete with the NFL, which means what? To me, that means Friday night. Do you have a Friday night marquee match? We've already seen it in the Big 12 schedule.
Yeah.
With Fridays becoming more of a thing, is that the night that maybe college football tries to take over in the way that the NFL did Monday night? I don't know. But there's a lot of different things that can happen with these two talking, and especially if they'll decide to be teammates instead of adversaries. Now, timeline-wise, I don't know how long this – you know, everybody's just kind of done their new deals. So this could be a ways off from actually happening. But I think the talks and the negotiations have to start right now to get all your ducks in the row to be able to get this done. And then, of course, the other thing, that's just the revenue side of it. But the other thing that's really enticing, I think, to college football fans is – the ability to then regulate what the hell is going on.
With the NIL,
portal, with the portal, yeah, with signing day, with all that. I think that's another a really big deal that I think at least these commissioners and maybe even the presidents, whatever, are starting to realize how hard it is and how far away we're getting from what college football is and was and what made it so great. You know?
Yeah.
There's a lot there, but just on the surface, it sure seems like a really good first step that at least they're talking about this stuff. And being able to implement it's another thing, but I think this is an encouraging step for college football. And then you know, the rest of the athletics kind of go back to what they were,
which would be
you've got. I mean, this is for football, But there's no reason for, you know, Oklahoma in tennis to be going to Georgia, then Florida, you know, when they can just go to Stillwater and Fort Worth. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It just doesn't make financial sense. And Scott was in here on Friday with those numbers about how much money is generated.
Yeah, that's where money is.
But a bunch of it
lost.
Just goes away, yeah. And that's only gonna increase with the travel cost. I mean, think about Stanford plays all kinds of sports. They're gonna fly to North Carolina. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, that is a burden financially. So,
and I don't know. I know Stanford probably cost an arm and a leg to get into.
Yeah,
being the Harvard of the West, but I don't know how much sports boosters they have to support that, like other prominent athletic institutions have. Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
absolutely.
The only boosters they're getting is for their science labs and research facilities.
Mm-hmm.
Academics,
and then this doesn't separate the haves and have-nots from an athletic department standpoint, because everybody's splitting, right? College football generates $8 billion or whatever, and then it filters down to everybody.
Yeah,
you know, so some of the teams may not like it. But it feels like that's where we're headed.
Yeah,
and that may be because of that revenue loss. Maybe that's where the ACC and Big 12 are just kind of stuck, or some of the teams are.
They're kind of in this purgatory.
Because I don't think, what do you have, 14 in the SEC right now, or 16? Is it 16? It is 16.
Is it
16 and 16 in the Big 12? 10, 18 in the Big. That's. You've got to have more than, say, 35 teams competing for a football national championship. So maybe it doesn't stick everybody on the outside looking in.
Paul Jones Drug offers a free service that makes taking your daily medications safe and easy. It's called convenience packaging, meaning they can combine all of your daily medications and put them in sealed, separate daily packages. This process replaces you from having to fill your daily medication dispenser. And as always, Paul Jones Drug prepares individual blister packaging for long-term care patients. With their drive-through window, curbside service, and free local delivery, it's just more reasons you should choose Paul Jones Drug, 809 North Main Street in Elk City.
I'm Rodney Skinner with Paul Jones Drug, and I promise, we provide care you can trust.
The Skinny on Sports.
Welcome back. Skinny on Sports, 98.1 FM, the sports animal. Question on the text line. Would coaches like the idea of playing on Friday because they want to recruit? It's an interesting question.
Yeah, that's a good one.
In a perfect world, do you play? I think in a perfect world for college coaches, at least who's been around here, you know, that 2:30 game gives recruits from across the country, if that's who's coming, or across the state, time to get to Norman or Stillwater on a Saturday. And then the game, you know, you probably want a game to be going on Saturday, right?
Yeah.
For the recruits to see the atmosphere and enjoy, take that all in. But you don't want it, I don't know that you want it to be a night game, because then, you know, you get done at 5 o'clock, 5:30, whatever time it is. Then you have time to then entertain those recruits on Saturday evening. You know, for you, and of course I'm sure that they go out with the players after that and do whatever. But, you know, the game time probably isn't stopping that part of it as far as the player-to-player interaction. But so, yeah, I think there's merit to that. But also, I wonder, the problem is obviously the players being able to get there on a Friday night, if that's when a game would be happening, because they're going to be playing too. But I wonder what the all day being able to focus your attention on recruits during the season all day Saturday, even though there's not a game. I wonder what the split would be there for coaches. You know what I mean? I would assume they would want there to be a atmosphere in a game.
Yes.
I would assume that. And so, but at the same time, we're also talking about maybe one game a year.
Right.
And a bunch of places don't even have that a year.
And some coaches might go, no big deal. I'll just go to the portal. But, after putting thought into it of why recruiting still matters, and I know you believe it does, and I'm on the fence of does it or doesn't it, I think it does where you get those guys on campus to experience that atmosphere and show them your facilities and all of that. And then, they go and they sign with somebody else. You don't give up on them because they might enter the portal and they remember that time they came to that campus, came to that college atmosphere. I remember that. Now I got a chance to go back there.
Finishing second on a recruit has never been so important.
Right.
If you don't believe me, look at Ohio State and Caleb Downs.
Yeah. Yes.
They got a guaranteed All-American 2-year starter at safety from Alabama because they finished second. They were his next choice. And I'm sure they paid out the wazoo. Man, did you see the gift that Mizzou got? Financial gift?
I did, yeah.
62 milli?
I did.
Anybody wondering why Mizzou all of a sudden has been able to get a bunch of these guys?
Money.
There you go. Shouldn't be long before Ole Miss is announcing they have a huge, but that's the problem is that can't happen every year. And that's where I think, for me at least, that's where the portal and that NIL money is so overblown. Yeah, it'll happen once, but it can't continue to happen. Or at least it doesn't appear that it can. And so in a lot of ways, now these guys are coming through the portal and not through high school recruiting. That's one difference in this. But, we all saw 2 years ago the 2022 class – that Texas A&M signed was by a lot of people's estimation the greatest high school recruiting class of all time. And 2 years later, how many are left?
Right.
Now maybe that's the adjustment that some of these places have made to give money for 2-year commitments with people out of the portal as opposed to trying to get them for 4. That makes sense,
mm-hmm.
And that could be the case in some ways too. Oh, hey, we got to give a shout out, courtesy of the text line. We appreciate somebody letting us know this.
What's up,
Braxton Robertson? Remember Braxton?
Of course,
linebacker, Big Elks. Ended up being the kicker. We didn't even know he had one. Turned out he was a good one at it. So Braxton Robertson, this is clearly wrestling, going for his 100th career win.
Oh, very good.
Cool. 100th career win. He's undefeated, 24-0 this year in his weight class. So a big-time congrats to Big Elk senior Braxton Robertson, looking for his 100th career win on the wrestling mat. I can tell you this, Jared. I don't know a ton about wrestling, but just watching him play football, he would be one of the last guys that I would ever think, you know what would be fun? Wrestling Braxton Robertson. Let's try that out.
Yeah.
I don't think that'd be very much fun.
Well, he's a guy you're glad he's on your side.
That is correct.
Yeah.
That is correct. And I don't think anybody would want to see me in a onesie anyhow, if we're being honest. Hey, it's the Paul Jones Drug Tuesday. We're wrapping it up. Rodney and the gang at Paul Jones. Convenience packaging. They individually package your daily medication. You don't have to get out your pill caddy and fill that puppy up and make sure you got it right. They do it for you. Walker's Canes and Crutches, that is their durable medical equipment. They accept most insurances, but also they've got some cool gifts and greeting cards down there too. 809 North Main, Paul Jones Drug. Is care you can trust. Final thing. Tucker Family Beef, 8 for State. I have a post once again on the Skinny Unsports Facebook page. comment, send us text messages, 225-9698. You can send them to me. You can send them to Jared. We'll compile them all. But you've only got 2 days left to be able to get your entries submitted for the Tucker Family Beef 8 for State. Class A and B, girls and boys. It's first for your first step is to pick the 8 teams you think will make the state tournament from Class A and B, boys and girls. And, oh, by the way, our man Monty has helped it out. I couldn't figure out how to do this morning from my phone. But Monty has even made it easier for you by putting a link on. He shared my post with a link to the brackets.
Oh, awesome.
Yes, I was trying to figure out how to do that, and I could not figure it out this morning. But I wanted to get it back out there on the socials that, it's time to get your entry in. And Monty did. He figured it out all by himself. He's more technical than me for my obvious. So get him in. 2 more days. His playoffs start on Thursday.
I've been asked to remind via the text line, too. Corn Bible Academy is in Clinton.
Corn Bible Academy
like
is in Clinton.
Said already one. Might be worth saying again.
Yes, you already have.
Corn Bible Academy is in Clinton.
And by the way, voting for that smart board continues.
Yeah.
Continues voting for the smart board video reality. You can hear the ads all through the day on all three of the stations connected with us, Paragon TV. Text ELK to 225-9697 if you want to vote for Elk City. Now, if you've got multiple names of your school, just text the first name. Like, for instance, I've been wondering why people were, what Western meant.
Western Technology Center?
That's what I thought. Nope. Western Oklahoma Christian School.
Oh, yes.
So, if you got two names, text the first one. All schools around are in the running. I actually know who's ahead. Do you know who's ahead?
I do. I'm not going to say who.
Why not? Maybe it'll fire up
that
the others.
That would fire up
maybe
the others.
Maybe it'll fire up the others. I can tell you right now, Leedy is ahead.
Yeah, tell you what, Hammond, your rivals are ahead of you.
Leedy is ahead, and they're almost W. Elk City, get with it. It's probably my fault because I've been forgetting to announce this on the broadcast. I think I did it once. Oh, who am I kidding? I may not have done it any. But I'll start doing that on a nightly basis to get that. It goes through until the Saturday, a small school state. That time, the winner will be announced. So text to 225-9697 the name of your school that you want to win that smart board. It's cool. If you don't know what that is, think about like when you're watching election coverage.
Yeah.
And they start firing through.
It's like a giant iPad.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah, you can write on it. You can. It's all, yeah.
Yeah. So
that's
text
a very valuable tool for
once again.
School.
Once again, text ELK to 225-9697 if you're voting for Elk City. If you're voting for somebody else, just don't worry about texting. I'm teasing. Everybody keep going. We got over 7,000 votes so far. That number needs to be upwards of 20 by the time we're done. We got a whole month.
I was impressed with some of these numbers.
I can tell you this, the smaller ones are smoking the larger schools.
Yes. Leedy's up there, Hollis up there.
Yeah, Hollis was in second.
Canute right at third.
Canute was third, and I think maybe Hammond fourth. Or there was a bunch.
Cheyenne.
Did I say there was some in there pretty close after Canute. It dropped to where everybody was smacked in there pretty close.
Yeah. So. Yeah. No, yeah, it's gonna be fun because we got about another 3 weeks of this until it shuts down at the end of the month, right?
Yeah.
28th.
28th, is that the last day?
They said 28th, but they have 29 days this month. But it says on their live read 28th.
Okay.
We'll have to get some clarification on that.
I'm sure. 28th, and then we'll announce it, what, March 2nd? Saturday, March 2nd at the Big House during the broadcast of the Class A and B state finals. All right. Everybody have a wonderful Tuesday. Check out Paragon TV for the schedule tonight. It's a full slate of games. All across big schools, large schools, Big Elk TV for Elk City down at Duncan. Canute, Carl Albert, Arnett at Eric, Cheyenne Raiden at Sweetwater, Cordell goes to Hollis, Hammond heads to Visai, Hobart's at Merritt, Repo Butler goes to Leedy. That is your full schedule tonight, Paragon TV. 6:30 girls, 8 o'clock for the boys, Big Elk's the same way.
You've been listening to the Skinny on Sports podcast with Aaron Cowan. Be sure to hit that subscribe button to get alerts of when the latest podcast is available. Thanks for listening.
That ball is blistered to right. Way back, goodbye. Tuesday, February 13th is the school investment election. The plan provides local students and the Canute community with a renovated gymnasium, including new flooring, new stands, new scoreboard, updated restrooms, accessibility improvements, and more. The plan also includes upgrades to the school's science lab to promote more hands-on learning and experiments. Polls will be open from 7 a.m. till 7 p.m. Please take time to vote on this important election, because your voice and your vote matter.